Off the ball
with BetDAC.com. Now with enhanced specials on a wide range of markets, available on your mobile or on desktop.
You're welcome back. As you know, at this stage, we've been talking about it on the show. Pat Lam will leave Connacht at the end of the season. He's heading for Bristol. We've got the Connacht CEO, Willie Ruane, on the line. Willie, thanks very much for your time. Everybody, I suspect, will be sad to see Pat Lam leave. He's been a brilliant, positive presence in Irish life, almost as much as Irish rugby. He's done brilliant things, obviously, in Galway, where I suspect that feeling of sadness is especially intense today.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, as you said, Pat has been a very significant figure in the context of not just Connacht rugby, but Connacht life in general over the last while, and as you said, Irish sporting life. So we're disappointed to see him go, that's for sure. But at the same time, you know, we're pretty positive and still very excited about what the future lies or holds for Connacht rugby.
When did Pat tell you the news, Willie?
He told us Friday. I met with him on Friday. And he explained the situation, it came as a bit of a shock, in fairness. I didn't get up that morning thinking I was going to hear it, but at the same time, he was pretty straight up with what the situation was. And, as I said, disappointed, but, you know, can't be anything but very grateful for what Pat has done for Connacht Rugby since his time, since he's arrived here.
So before Friday, you hadn't heard rumblings through the grapevine that the approach had been made or he was thinking of it?
Look, I mean, I won't pretend that I hadn't heard some element of speculation that was out there that, you know, there might have been some conversation. So, you know, I won't pretend I didn't know that. But yeah, the fact that he was leaning towards signing and that he was going to sign on Friday, that piece of it, I hadn't heard. But I mean, we were having conversations with Pat with regards to his future with us in any event. Mm. So it's not like there wasn't conversations with regards to Pat's future. That was the case. But the specific news with regards to Bristol, that didn't arrive till Friday.
Right. And so instantly you say, Pat, don't go.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, you know, I said to Pat, is there anything that we could do in terms of, you know, convincing you to reconsider before you make the final decision? And in fairness to Pat is his own guy. He'll have thought that well through before I would have spoken to Pat. You know, he was very honest. He said he had made his decision at that stage, understanding the overall, you know, all the different factors that go into making any such decision.
Yeah.
So, you know, like when you're dealing with someone like Pat or anyone at that kind of level, it's not that, you know, you're going to twist their arm and convince them otherwise. He very much is his own guy. We very much wanted to keep him and you know, express that to him. Mm. But he would have thought it well through before I would have sat down with him in any event. And as I said, we had been discussing the future in any event. And so all of those permutations would have been going through his head for the last number of weeks as it played through.
Yeah. Gerry Thornley today quoted the figure of a €750,000 a year salary at Bristol, which is, Gerry understands, more than any coach in Irish rugby, including Joe Schmidt. So that's just a figure a million miles off what Connacht can ever hope to pay, certainly in the near future, I suspect.
Well, look, I mean, I'm not sure whether that is or isn't the number, but I think one way or the other, I think that number would be a million miles off what any, the vast majority of clubs would be paying, and Connacht would be no exception in that regard. You know, so that's, I think, whatever Pat is being paid, I've no doubt it's a well-deserved an amount that he is receiving. I think the proposition that would have been put to him would have been a hugely compelling one that covered a number of different areas, not just financially, but I've no doubt, look, that he'd be well rewarded in Bristol.
Yeah. Willie, Pat signed a contract last January for 3 years, so the hope was that he would be at Connacht until 2018 anyway. I'm not really sure how this works. Like, do you have any qualms with the fact that he was approached even though he's under contract until 2018? Is that fair enough in the business?
Look, I mean, Pat's moving on. You know, in terms of any of that stuff, to be honest, I don't really have any interest in even going into it. I mean, it is what it is, and I genuinely wish Pat well. He's done us very much. He's done very well for us while he's been here, and in that regard, you know, I don't have any ill feeling at all towards that. Okay. It is what it is. And so, I wish him all the best.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think we all do, absolutely. Because I know you said back in May when you were launching Connacht's vision for 2016 to 2020 that there were no specific clauses with regards to bigger clubs or premiership clubs or anything like that. So just a question which occurred to me is, can you not hold them to a contract? How does that work?
Well, look, I mean, you know, when I was asked whether I thought that Pat Lam, would he be here this year? Yeah. And I was absolutely, utterly convinced he was, which he is.
Yeah.
And that proved to be the case. So I didn't have any issues at all with regards to that. And even in terms of, you know, clauses, and I mean specific clauses with regards to bigger clubs or so-called bigger clubs, there were no specific clauses in that. You know, there is a clause within Pat's contract, and you know, he's moving on, and that's fine. That's the way it is.
What's been the reaction of the players, Willie? Have you spoken to them?
Yeah, I have. I spoke to them immediately after Pat spoke to them this morning, actually, and you know, they were shocked. That's the truth. It came a bit of a bolt out of the blue for many of them, and for all of them, really. One or two of them might have heard a little rumbling over the weekend, but for the vast majority of them, they had no sense that this was coming. And like any guy who is, you know, has a coach like Pat and a figure as strong as Pat, it would have been a shock for them. And I would, you know, I don't mind saying that they were a little taken aback for the first bit of the morning, but genuinely, as the day has gone on, they've had time to digest it. I caught up with them again there after lunch, some of the leadership group. And as they start to get their head around it, they're very much focused now on, you know, it's Champions Cup week. We got a job to do this weekend and the following week and the following week. So it's amazing how quickly the guys kick into that mode. And in one way, it's a difficult week to hear news like this. But in another way, it's good because they have to refocus and get on with the job. And that's what they're doing. So a bit of shock and then move on to the next job.
It suddenly makes your job, I guess, a bit more interesting, maybe, to use that word. You know, you see Bundyaki tweeted feeling pissed, is what he said today. And I presume he is, because I presume when he looks at the Connacht deal, and it was so great that you kept the likes of Bundyaki and Alton Delan, I presume when Bundyaki signs that deal, he wants to be playing for Pat Lam, and today he feels, I suppose, a sense of anger or disappointment that the vision he had isn't there anymore.
Well, I mean, Bundy wants to be playing on a winning team that plays good rugby and that has a very good coach. And the truth is, we all want that. None of that changes.
Yeah.
It just might be a different coach. And that's just professional sport. That's the way it works. As much and all as, again, as I say, we'd like Pat to be around, he isn't going to be. So we got to focus on making sure that we are going to be playing really good, ambitious, winning rugby, and that we have a coach who matches the ambitions and the quality of the coaching squad or the playing squad that we have. None of that changes. And in fairness to Bundy, like the other guys, after that initial shock, he's very much, he understands that. But you know, the guys are human. As much and all as we'd like them to be robots and they'll give a stock answer, or they may not answer at all. They do have their own concerns and, you know, the uncertainty of matters. But at the same time, Bundy's a winner. He's a competitor, and he'll do whatever it takes to get out there and to start to keep winning. And whoever that coach is when they come in, they'll have a vision. Connacht Rugby has a vision that is, you know, very much independent of any of this. And in fairness to the players, they've bought into that, and that won't change.
Yeah. With regard to the replacement process, Willie, how does that work? How big a say does the IRFU have? Is that solely a Connacht decision?
Do you know what? It actually isn't either or. I mean, I'd regard David Nisvora as being someone who'd be a good support to us in helping us make that decision. You're talking about someone who has, you know, very significant technical knowledge and an understanding of the whole coaching environment and the whole coaching space. So from that regard, David would be a support to us. So we'll sit down, our own board, we'll sit down with David and we'll figure out exactly what it is that we're looking for, and then what's the best process that we agree on to go through to find the best candidate. So rather than it being their say or our say, I just think it's actually a joint discussion where we can ultimately get what we were both looking for. But he's genuinely very, very supportive of anything we've been doing thus far. So
yeah.
you know, we'll be working with them on it.
And Willie, on that list of things that you want, pretty close to the top of the list, I would presume, is winning rugby and the brand of rugby that we've seen Connacht play so brilliantly of late. Where does an Indigenous Irish coach come into that list?
Look, I mean, we have a commitment even within Connacht in terms of our stated objectives to have Indigenous players come through. And we have, obviously, within our own coaching structures, we have, you know, our own ambitions to have succession in terms of our coaching staff. Whether that's at this stage or not, only time will tell. But so, I mean, look, you'd like to have a quality Irish coach come through. But first and foremost, they need to be quality. And if they're, if now is the time, great. If it's not now, then so be it. We have a responsibility to the player group that's here. Right now, we have a responsibility to our fans. And they're all very ambitious. And everyone within Connacht Rugby is ambitious to achieve right now as well. So it would be great. It would be great if we can get a coach who plays a very ambitious, attractive style of rugby, winning rugby, and at the same time is Irish. But you may not be able to tick all those boxes at one go.
Yeah, sure. And final point, what's the big legacy that Pat Lam leaves?
Pat has helped us, really, in terms of, you know, we've put in place a lot of systems and structures that aren't solely dependent on one person. And, you know, Pat has espoused that for a long time now. That was always when we were talking about anything that we were doing, actually. And that genuinely is the case, that we were talking about, well, if someone had to step out of this and in any position that we had, how could that be continued on? So that is a significant legacy. But, you know, parading a Pro 12 trophy around the whole province and the legacy effect of that, that there are kids playing rugby this season that picked up a ball simply because of what they saw last May in Murrayfield. And in fact, throughout that whole season, that's a legacy that, you know, will never be, I think, lost. I think it's something Pat can be very, very proud of and something we're very, very grateful for, that's for sure.
Willie, thanks for your time. Wish you all the best with the replacement process. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Cheers.
Monday Night Rugby on Off The Ball.
Gavin Cumsky of the Irish Times here in studio. Eddie O'Sullivan is on the line. We have a Champions Cup weekend suddenly in our midst. Friday. Yeah, Friday, Northampton, Leinster, 7:45. Saturday will be Ulster against Clermont. Munster will play Leicester on Saturday as well at 3:15. And on the Sunday, Connacht are away to Wasps. That kicks off at 1 o'clock. Leinster, Munster, Connacht all top of their pools heading into the weekend. Ulster sit third in Pool 5. We'll have Ulster against Clermont and the Munster game against Leicester live here and Off The Ball. Gavin, Connacht heading into this game in the knowledge that Pat Lam is in his final season all of a sudden. This came largely out of nowhere. This was generally surprising to people. Obviously, Pat Lam would be a fairly desirable acquisition for most teams, but we hadn't expected it to come like this.
He became, Pat Lam became a flight risk as soon as they won the Pro 12, simply because Pat Lam is a career coach. And like before his really bad last season at the Auckland Blues, he was on the All Blacks radar. That's where you are. That was the standard he was at. And he had to completely reinvent himself. But Bristol, for, we're hearing reports of 750,000 a year, that's a career move and a very understandable one. So, like, it's bad, and it's there might be, we could see a lot of fallout in the next couple of weeks. We don't know. The great Bundy Aki was tweeting today already, like, you know, so we don't know where that's going to go. But they have to fix their ship pretty quickly now. But there was no time to do this because it was going to break. So obviously it was Friday, it was, this decision was made, so they just had to get it out. It's a Sunday game, you got to get it out today. But I don't think you're going to get a better, like, you're not going to top last season anyway. If you just look from Pat Lam's perspective again as a career coach, where else can he, okay, you got to get out of your pool, get to a quarter final of the Champions Cup, then the money's going to go up again. But there's no guarantee of that. Like, look, it's a career move, and it is an understandable career move.
Yeah, Eddie, if you put yourself in Lam's shoes.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I'm not a bit surprised that, firstly, as Gavin pointed out, given his track record with Connacht, he would be in demand as a coach. And it's no surprise he's got some offers. I believe he was talking to another Premiership club as well. I suppose maybe a surprise is that he's gone to Bristol, who at the moment look like their odds on to go down. It's hard to see them surviving. They haven't won a game yet this season. But I suppose maybe he sees it as a project, you know, to build a team up. He would have seen probably Connacht as a project when he came in terms of building consistency around Connacht, you know, building systems in there. So maybe, you know, some coaches like that kind of a challenge to take on a team that needs to be turned around a bit. And so maybe Bristol, from that perspective, probably interested him, you know. But certainly the fact that he's up to stumps and leaving is not a major surprise. And I think, again, you know, he's achieved so much in his time in Connacht. It's hard to see where he can go next, except maybe, you know, get into the quarterfinals of the Heineken. But, you know, that's something that could go against you at the drop of a hat. You know, you could have do a great bit of work, everything would be right, and it mightn't come off. So, yeah, I'm not shocked or surprised by it. Just probably slightly surprised maybe Bristol. But again, I say that in the context, he probably sees it as a great project to get them, probably has to get them back up into the Premiership and then kick on from there over, you know, 3 or 4 years. So that's an exciting challenge for a coach as well.
I presume $750,000 a year, Eddie, is in the upper echelons of what any club coach is getting in the Northern Hemisphere.
I would say it's above and beyond where it would be, other than probably France. France is probably the only place where coaches are at the top end or on that kind of money. But probably, if that's true, he's probably the best paid coach in England, probably even Barry Lee Jones. So, nice. You know, if that's true, I mean, I often wonder. I think sometimes these numbers are bandied around. I don't know how accurate they are. It seems an extraordinary amount of money for a club job.
Right.
You know, it's probably unlikely that big, but it's certainly probably well up on what he's receiving in Ireland. But, you know, I don't think it might be, you know, the money certainly as a career coach is a factor. You know, it'd be foolish not to put that into the equation. But I think he sees the bigger picture in terms of having got Connacht to where they are and a new challenge as well now, you know. They're all factors in it, and a different experience for his family as well in England as things from the west of Ireland. All those things come into play. And, you know, I don't think it's just for the money, even though it probably is a good improvement on where it's on.
There's a financial will there in Bristol for them to do things, you know what I mean? I know they came looking for Ian Madigan last season, and with Pat Lam is the man who brings in culture and changes things and all that. That's why it's going to be so interesting to see what his legacy, what he leaves behind in Connacht, because while he has, like, he throws in the Cúpla Focal and all that stuff, he comes in, he really has, he embraced the community, he got into the GAA community then in Connacht and all that, but he flooded the squad with Kiwis, you know. Now, at the same time, he picked the likes of Jack Carty and he was bringing up kids, so there's a balance there now, whether they can, David Nusafora and everyone and whoever gets involved now, the appointment now is so key for where Connacht go next, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting as well that he's lost probably two of his key men in the last year, you know. During the summer, I think it was Andre Bell, you know, went back to New Zealand.
And Dave Ellis, yeah.
And then Dave Ellis is on his way now, I think probably after Christmas. I don't think he's going to finish the season. It was announced. But that decision was made, you know, almost a year ago, that Ellis wanted to go back. He got an opportunity with the Yorkton Blues. Mm-hmm. So, like, two probably key guys in terms of getting the Connacht where they are have kind of slipped away now as well. So, you know, that's a dynamic as well he would weigh up, I think. And there are some really good young Connacht coaches coming through as well. You know, Nigel Carlin and Jimmy Duffy are there, and they've been around. They've learned from these guys. So, like, I suppose there's a shift as well, even in terms of staff around them, which would be a factor.
Hmm. Eddie, I don't want you to put you on the spot live
no,
on air,
really.
But I presume you're interested, or have you given up even attempting to get back into Irish rugby? Because it seems like that door is closed.
Well, I've never given up on Irish rugby. Maybe it's given up on me to an extent. But I don't know. I mean, the last time I applied for the Connacht job, I didn't get an interview, so I don't know where that leaves me with Connacht, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, that was what happened the last time around. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I suppose we'll have to wait and see what way. Maybe they're going to look overseas to a big name or something. I had that mentioned as well. It's hard to know where the province want to go.
Yeah.
But it's in my back door step. You know, I mean, I live 25 miles out of Galway, and I've been based there for years. So it's an instant project. Whoever takes the job or gets the job, though, it's kind of now would be a job that you've got to kick on really with this team. You know, the expectation around him, and rightly so. It's not a false expectation. Like, there's a lot of whatever. Even if it was a fantastic season last year, the Connacht, did win the Pro 12. It was a fairy tale year, but they deserved it. It wasn't by accident. They were the team of the season and they delivered. But even had that not gone their way, for whatever reason, you have to look at Connacht now and see the structures that they put in place. He built on what was a very good academy. He developed young coaches, he developed young players. They were much better representation in the national squad. And there are a lot of homegrown talent. So whoever inherits the job now will have to kick on, really. It's not like they'll be, oh, we've got to rebuild or something. That line won't wash.
Yeah.
And rightly so. Whoever steps in there needs to hit the ground running, and there won't be any kind of bedding in period. And that's why it's a hell of a challenge for whoever ends up in the pilot seat for that job. Because, rightly so, there's an expectation around Connacht is high and should be for a good reason.
Yeah. Genuinely here, tell me no comment here if it's no comment and we'll move on and it's no problem. But I find it staggering looking at your CV that you can't get an interview. And anytime I try and figure out what's going on here, there's just a sense that there was a falling out or people have rubbed each other up the wrong way in this instance and the door is closed on you. So like it seems like a personality issue or something's going on away from what you're actually able to offer on a rugby pitch.
Yeah, I actually don't know the answer to that question, and I'm not being avoiding or being evasive. I really have asked myself to people a number of times. I'm told there's actually no problem, you know. But like I as I say, you're right. I haven't been able to break back into Irish rugby. It's 8 years now since I left, you know. So it's 8 years.
You did try and almost kind of get the word one way or another. Is something off here, or am I? You know, what's going on?
Oh, I did ask people. Yeah, I absolutely did ask people because. I felt going away to America was a good one for me, coming back in 2012, that you know, there'd been enough time to things settle down, but nothing's happened since then. No, maybe it's just the way things have broken. I mean, I think the Connacht job in particular, I believe the decision not to interview was made by the CEO at the time was moved on, you know.
Okay.
And that was that one. And other than that, I suppose Munster went with Anthony Foley for good reason.
Yeah.
You can see all those things play out differently. And I've been told, you know, at pretty much the highest level, that there's no problem at all. I mean, I haven't teed anybody off. So as far as I know, there's no reason for it.
And what's interesting there, Eddie, is that from Eddie's perspective, from everyone's perspective, is the decision making processes has changed. David Nusafora now, Willie Ram was talking to you earlier on. It's a joint discussion. So it's Connacht don't get the final decision in this, it sounds like, was the impression I got, that David Nusafora has a substantial say, if you're saying that the head of Irish rugby, so it's not going to be done the way it's been done before.
Before that, it was the province who had the final say, had total control on the
I don't know how Connacht did it before previously.
Okay. But generally around the provinces.
I know Leinster and Munster go get their own,
okay.
and Ulster have as well.
Yeah.
But there's always dialogue and all that stuff. But.
Yeah.
It looks like David Nusafora has a substantial stay in the appointment of the next coach.
It's going to be very difficult for the next coach because all the players love Pat Lam and they love the culture and
they love them, you know that.
Oh really?
No, I don't think you don't get the successful a coach through love.
Okay.
I think there was a fear element and
right.
respect and all
well,
that.
Well then I'll rephrase. They loved winning. They loved that side of the culture. They loved, I guess, the result of being put in a difficult place. So the new person's going to have to come in and presumably maintain that brand of rugby as much as anything because the players want to play that brand of rugby and it's been successful. And like, do you copy everything when you're imitating culture? Do you have the Connacht handshake? Does that stay?
No, whoever comes in is going to have to get their arms around it. And there is, and Eddie touched on it, there's three Kiwi voices that were major parts in their success. They're gone now and there's a whole bunch of New Zealand players. A couple of them are going to be Irish by the time the summer rolls around. Jake Keenan, Bundy Aki, Tom McCarthy. They expect a certain standard or a certain way of coaching that they were probably familiar with. And like
I think it's about standard, as you put there. That's a good word. I think it's about, you know, culture is the same. Successful culture is the same around every rugby team. There isn't one way to skin the cat. There isn't one way to play the game. But there are all these things that are similar in very good teams that have good, strong cultures and in teams that perform well. And the next coach doesn't have to do everything that Pat Lam did, but he would have to pay respect to that culture that was there and he would have to hardwire his version of it. Not that there's anything wrong with a different way of doing it. You know, people think when a team is successful that everybody else should do what they did, which is actually a misnomer. Because you've different players and you've a different environment. But the key things that underpin a strong culture in any sporting environment are the same across the world. You can write that in stone. But how you get there or how you maintain it, how you advance it, can be done in different ways. Mm. Like in the same way you play the game. You know, you play the... There's different, no two teams play the same way. They might play similar ways, but, you know, that's, again, based on the coach, his vision, and the type of players he's got under him and their skill sets. So I don't think whoever comes in has to be kind of a mirror image of Pat Lam.
Yeah.
But he would have to have the skill set to replicate the dynamics that Lam brought to Connacht to keep the team successful. And that would be, to me, the major point.
The other thing in the short term as well is that the likes of Bundiaki and Ulton Dolan signed new deals in October, presumably with a view to working very much in close capacity with Pat Lam. Bundiaki, you mentioned, Gav, tweeted feeling pissed.
Yeah.
This morning, and an angry face.
I think Kieran Marriman told him to stop drinking or something like that. Yeah, everyone's looking at these tweets. That wasn't the smoothest transition, I wouldn't say. But Bundy's someone you have to keep in check, you know, an emotional guy, brilliant player.
Yeah.
I was so surprised when Connacht signed him, because I thought he was on his way to become playing for New Zealand, you know, but he's up here and all that. There's a thing that they have to get, like, they're rolling into the, like, these huge games now. They have to get their act together, and like they're not a settled side yet from in comparison to last year, where they were at this stage last year. Their South African guys come in. He played on the wing, I think, on the weekend there. Boshoff. There's a lot of bits and pieces that we haven't seen from them, you know. But as far as looking at the actual coaching thing, because I think this is the thing that stays in the conversation for a while now, there is a lot of Irish coaches as well out there. Not necessarily the head coaching job, but I don't know, does Bernard Jackman, Ron Nogara, does coming back to Ireland, does this appeal to them? Does their route back in as well? Maybe as a head coach. Well, Bernard Jackman obviously is a head coach, but like there's obviously Eddie O'Sullivan's record means he should be considered or certainly interviewed for this role. There's a lot of names in there. Stuart Lancaster, funnily enough, was talking for Leinster today, and he's his contract's up in the summer, so we don't know what he's doing. He was actually being pushed towards the Bristol gig, you know. So it was interesting to see that that was sorted out.
Yeah.
There is one thing that Pat Lam wants to do more than anything else is to make sure that this season ends with the levels of respectability that they've demanded everyone shows them, you know.
Yeah. Connacht's at top of their Champions Cup pool, and they are away to Wasps on Sunday. I mentioned Leinster away to Northampton, Ulster at home to Claremont, and Munster are at home to Leicester. So compared with last season, the Irish provinces are in very good shape here. Leinster, Munster, Connacht, all top of their pool. Ulster third in pool five, and they have a back-to-back duel with Claremont, who are top of the pool, so that will be no fun. But the others are looking in reasonably good shape here. What's the eye-catching game for you at the weekend, Gav?
Leinster, Northampton.
Yeah.
It just has to be. Munster are just ticking along now. It's just really, they've got a shape, they've got everything about them. Ulster season's in trouble. Connacht, it's right up against it now on Sunday. They're away as well, I think. But
yeah.
Leinster, Northampton, everything's going really good in Irish rugby at the moment.
Northampton are bottom of the pool.
Yeah.
So if you see Northampton off this week in particular, you feel the return fixture won't be as tough.
You flick through that squad, they're coming with everything. This Friday, this is it.
Yeah.
This is their thing. They're coming out of Dylan Hartley and all the lads. That'll be brilliant. I was actually over there the last time, Leinster. If Leinster can integrate and get the balance right with their team, I think I actually think they're a better team. Like, we sometimes give these English and French clubs too much credit, but like if you actually go and look at the two teams, I think Leinster are better and stronger. That's the one that's a gripping one where we roll from the November into this now. That's the problem. That's the risk that can Leinster strike the balance where there's so many players who don't deserve to be dropped who will be. You know.
Yeah, Eddie, your broad thoughts on the European weekend?
Yeah, I think the Northampton Leinster one is interesting again, because if you remember, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe three, Northampton lost at home to Leinster. Leinster took them to the woodshed and gave them a good beating, but then they came back the following week and there was a really good game in the Aviva. I remember being at it. It was a real barn burner, but Northampton came on a mission. And I think the one difference between the English clubs and the French clubs, and it's a hard thing to say, but the English clubs play with a bit of pride all the time. You know, they're never going to give up the ghost. They're going to show up and play hard. And if you beat them, you beat them. We know historically the French teams, if they come to town and they're out of it, they just turn up at the seconds. Or most of the guys they want to get back into playing at half time. So, like, for example, Northampton Saints is a really tricky one for Leinster. Even though they're at the bottom of the pool, they're not going to roll over and play dead. They'll come, they'll they'll be very hard to beat at home, but then they'll come back the following week and they'll be just as tough again. And I think that's a big one for Leinster. I think Ulster are in a very tricky place. They really, really have struggled with their consistency. And even watching them last weekend against Cardiff, you know, they had the game locked away with like 10 minutes to go, and they go up two soft tries, and suddenly Cardiff are coming back at them. And they got a block down to win the game, which killed the game. But had they not got the block down, you've got to think, geez, Cardiff are going to pull this off. So this Ulster had these heebie-jeebies about them at times where they play great rugby and then they go into their shell. And they're vulnerable like that. And this Claremont game is massive for them. I mean, I think Munster and the Tigers will be very interesting. This will be a real test of where Munster are. I mean, they've had a great run of form in recent times. They're really, you know, digging out results. And there seems to be that cohesiveness and you know, guts and drive that we associate Munster consistently. And the Tigers will test them. Although the Tigers last weekend against Northampton, like, dominated but couldn't score. So to come to Thomond Park, I wouldn't be surprised if Munster put one over them if they defend well, but it's going to be hugely physical. And I think Connacht have probably a massive challenge, you know, against Wasps. I mean, Wasps are just basically a crew of wrecking balls. You know, they just wear you down. They've got so much physicality about them, and they have so much finishers. I mean, that'll be a massive one for Connacht. I mean, I think that Connacht will do very well to keep that one close, but I think the return game in Galway will be interesting. I think, you know, Connacht will throw the kitchen sink at them, and Galway's getting even harder to come and win, and it was always tricky, but it's, as we know, it's getting very difficult to come to Galway and win now. So there's a lot of stories to be told this weekend, but we get a good sense of it by next Monday night when we see the way the thing plays out. But probably I think Leinster really is a big game for them in terms of throwing down a marker. If they beat Northampton away, I think then they're in the driving seat for sure. Ulster have to keep the kettle boiling somehow, and I think Munster, it's a real test of where they are. It's a benchmark for the season, I think.
We don't know what the Leinster team's going to be. There's a lot of they were unclear about Johnny Sexton. He's just up in Santry having his hamstrings looked after. Sean O'Brien maybe. Rob Kearney and Robbie Henshaw back to non-contact from concussions. That's four substantial players. Now they can go with what they have.
But you know, with those players, Gavin, with those players, if they are 50-50 and all that, Leinster might be better off without them. Just go into the game, full metal jacket, away from home, put your best foot forward, rather than guys who are kind of 80%, maybe not. They're like if Leinster are going to win this game in Northampton, they'll have to win it mentally, you know, and that's the first hurdle. And if you've got four guys who are not 100% or just off, you know, that's a big load to carry away from home against a team like Northampton. It would be very, very physical. So if they've doubts about guys, Leo might just say, look, the hell with it. Let's go what we have.
I think Carberry's going to play, Eddie, all right. I think Carberry will be at 10.
Yeah, I expect he will. But even fellas, like, it's kind of, I suppose, it's heresy to say, you know, do with a good old Sean O'Brien. But if Sean O'Brien isn't 100% perfect, ready to go, like, it's a big ask for him. And you know, guys go out, you've 11 guys going out with no one, or 12 guys, you know, there's three guys here not really 100% right. And that's psychologically going into a big game like that away from home. So I think they might just say, look, to hell with it. Let's get the fittest guys on the field and go out and give it a lash out there. And Leinster have a lot of talent. And like we
Do you even know who they pick, Eddie? Because Reece Ruddock looked pretty good. Jack Conan probably going to have to make way. Levy, Van der Flyer. It's pretty hard
that's
anyway.
That's my point, yeah. That's my point. That they keep producing these guys. And you've got to wonder where's the places for them in the team when they pick their best 15. Like, they're not short of talent. And sometimes you just need to, you know, release the hounds and let these fellas out on a big day out and let them get on with it. And that could be the best strategy. Then, you know, going over there, if you've got two or three guys who are not 100% and trying to get everybody on the same place, because if they're carrying injuries, they won't be able to train that well this week. They'll be kind of compromised in training and stuff, and that doesn't bode well either, you know. You might maybe get away with one guy, but if you've got three or four guys, it's never good preparation.
Meanwhile, Gav, Warren Gatland's in town in Dublin on Wednesday to announce his Lions backroom team. Haven't had a chance to look. Has this been leaked to the high heavens?
The Sunday Mail told us that Andy Farrell will be defence coach, Steve Borthwick forwards coach, and Rob Howley, because Joe doesn't want it, Eddie Jones doesn't want it, and Gregor Townsend's just about to take over as Scotland head coach, so he doesn't want the attack coaching job. We actually put Gregor Townsend on the spot there a couple of months ago at the Pro 12 launch, I think it was. We asked him a few times in a few different ways, how can you go on a Lions tour if you want to start your career as Scotland head coach? And this is one of these problems we have now, Lions versus country, which is just going to go on. Like, this is not going to get any better. Why would these head coaches mess up the stage one of their preparation for the World Cup? summer tour this year with a Lions tour where, like, it's no benefit for them if they turn, and they're also their head coaches now. Why would they want to go in and be number two attack coach and the glory doesn't get to them? You know what I mean? It goes to Warren Gatland for what could be arguably them picking apart the All Blacks. There's a bit of grumblings in Wales actually about Rob Howley now also being gone from the Welsh camp and being their attack coach gone. They're a bit worried about that one. So, but that's what the rumour mill. There could be, I'm sure there's going to be, there might be a surprise thrown in there somewhere. As it goes, as the word on the street is that Farrell, Bortwick, Howley, okay, in a familiar enough Lions package.
Okay, there's plenty of time to talk about that. The Sunday Times had their had everybody picking their teams to start. I mean, like, we were toying around with the idea of getting you guys to pick your Lions team after the November series, and then just thought there'd be nothing more, very few things you'd less rather do.
It's the England team with Tadhg Furlong and Robbie Henshaw. Yeah,
yeah. Although Stephen Jones had Rob Kearney in at fullback.
Yeah. Well, Stephen Jones does, who's an excellent reporter, but he comes out with some wild stuff sometimes.
Loves Ireland these
days. Well, actually, do you know what? That's Stephen Jones, because he wrote glowingly and fair enough about Rob in Chicago. Yeah. He just saw that and went, yeah, that's what we need.
I think everybody had Sexton and Murray. Pretty sure.
I saw it. There must be this whole thing about Youngs coming off the bench, because Youngs is the best scrum half. Conor Murray was, it's the best performance I've ever seen from a scrum half against in Chicago. But Youngs is the best scrum half in the world at the moment. He's been key to everything England have been doing. He's been, like, should have seen his try the other day.
Yeah, I saw it.
That's the way he's been going. Like, that's not just one game. That's been every single game. He's motoring England in one direction.
Have you had Youngs above Murray for some time now?
It's either or.
They're
both playing. It's just, but who starts and who finishes? There's no, it's whichever. If you're going to play a kicking game, Murray.
Six Nations. Guys, the Six Nations is where it's at. We can speculate for hours about. I think the Six Nations will give you a really good steer on the Lions team. Before that, it's very much pie in the sky, I think.
It'll be all gone after that. It'll be all injured as well, Eddie. We're going to lose about 10, 15 guys that we definitely need.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Going,
it'll be carnage for the rest of the season. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's great stuff. Thanks very much. Cheers, Eddie.
Cheers, guys.
Gavin Comiskey, The Irish Times in studio. Thanks very much.